Hey, thanks for joining me. I'm Gabbin Gale, and this is a Gale Foley Show where I interview people sharing their success stories and their passion, inspiring you on your journey to success. And in between interviews, I'll share motivational moments, always cheering you on as you achieve your mission. So be sure to subscribe to my channel, The Gale Foley Show, and hit me up on Twitter at Gale Foley, hashtag Gabbin Gale. So speaking of Gabbin, let's get on with it. Hey, this is Gale, and today it is going to be an incredible interview with two authors of Social Media Forever. We are going to learn a little bit of why we should use social media and what's behind all of it a little bit more extensively than most of us know. Michael Brown is one of our guests. He is co-author of this Social Media Forever, a graduate of Old Dominion University. He teaches social media online for Florida International University, and his course received national recognition in 2013. He is a deputy director of public affairs for a joint military organization at Fort Eustis, Virginia. He is also an Air Force retiree. So welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. And then his co-author is Tracy Shiero. I hope I pronounced that right. And she is an award-winning public relations expert, APR, and directs communications for Pew's Clean Energy Program, and teaches media relations / social media at the George Washington University, where she previously served as spokesperson. Tracy brings issues management, crisis communications, and strategic planning skills to her advocacy portfolio at Pew, and previously worked for the U.S. Department of State and a technology PR firm. So welcome, Tracy. How are you today?
Thank you, Gail. I'm very pleased to be here, and I'm doing very well. Thanks.
Very good. Now, my first question is, what does APR stand for after your name?
APR is accredited in public relations, and it is a 50-year-old certification sponsored by the Public Relations Society of America. So there are about 20,000 members of PRSA, and roughly about 15% of us have our APR. So it is definitely a distinction of honor, and one that is given after quite a bit of study and confirmation of not just public relations principles, but management best practices. So if anyone is interested in learning more about the APR, please go to prsa.org.
Wow, all right. That's
a female superstar.
Superstar. All right, I like that. Let's put lots of stars after your name. Now, obviously you two don't, at this present time, don't really live near each other, and you have very diverse backgrounds in what we're looking at here. So who wants to share the story of how you came together to do this book?
Well, I guess I'll do
leave
that
to Mike.
Okay.
We really met through PRSA. And Tracy was, I believe, a district chair at that point, and she was looking for someone to, one, participate in the district board, but also to be her replacement as she left office to do other great things. And we knew each other. She asked me, and I was honored, and I became her deputy, if you will. And then I became the district chair after that. And so we had a good relationship. We talked. Of course, we live in different places. And then I finished my PhD in May of 2011, and Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia asked me to do a social media course. And I was just getting into teaching, just getting into those kinds of things. And I said, who could help me with this social media course? And I called Tracy.
Uh-huh.
And so Tracy helped me build a seven-week course for ODU and pull that off. And then Florida International came calling and said, well, we want that course, but we wanted it 14 weeks, and we wanted it as an online course because it was in class at ODU. And once again, I pulled the same string and said, Tracy, can you help me out? And she did. And we created this 14-week course that you alluded to, the recognition that we got. And so, of course, when the course didn't have, was doing well, but didn't have a dedicated textbook, and I needed a textbook that I couldn't write by myself, I called Tracy's number once again, and she was gracious enough to say, oh, yes, I'll do it. And so we collaborated, and the result is Social Media Forever.
Well, you know, I think that's wonderful because you obviously picked a good person to partner with. Now, I do want a little bit more clarification. Social media has been around, I don't know, how long?
Oh, a decade or more, depending upon how far you go back. If you include listservs and discussions of that nature, it's got quite a long history, but sort of its modern incarnation is really about 10 years old.
Okay, so now did you guys learn this through actually being taught? Did you learn it just by your own experience? What brought you to this particular arena that made you the experts to present?
Tracy, you want to go first?
Sure. It's definitely learning by doing. I came into social media about 10 years ago when I was working at a public relations agency and blogs were on the rise, and I worked in technology at the time, and if you wanted to increase awareness of technology, you went to critical bloggers who were writing about the latest enterprise technology and computer hardware. And then when I moved to George Washington University in 2004, Facebook had just opened up to all universities, not just the Ivy Leagues, which was its original incarnation, and not just students, but in 2005 it became available to faculty and staff. So as director of media relations, I kept getting media inquiries from reporters, be it the Washington Post or CNN, asking if the university was using Facebook to become Big Brother and spy on students, which we were not. But it was definitely in the lingo, and what Mike talks about in the book, we talk about in the book, is, you know, are you a lurker? And so the early phases of Facebook were, you know, the high school and college students were actively engaging, but those of us who had more experience and certainly faculty and staff, were we lurkers? Were we spying on students to find out when the next big party was? And students would certainly have fun with that and create faux things to get the police to come and try and break up a fraternity party or whatever. But I really got on because I had to figure out what was going on. And, you know, by 2007, the university was on Twitter. We were using it to engage not just students, but our community and use it as an information sharing tool. And, you know, over the last 5 or 6 years, it has morphed even more aggressively into not just information sharing, but really engagement and a way to learn more about each other and create smaller communities of influence.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that, you know, what I'm hearing and what I'm finding when I'm out and about is that you have two trains of thoughts out there. You have a lot of businesses that are embracing it and learning it. For example, right here in my own community, I'm attending 3 different events this month alone on social media, on how to incorporate into your marketing mix, how to just do it. And then you have the other group that says, okay, it's overwhelming, I'm not doing it, it's not going to happen for us. Is
right.
The business is going to be going by the wayside that pays no attention to this?
Well, I think there'll always be people who don't pay attention. But the thing that we talk about in the book, and certainly the thing that I teach, is social media continues whether you're there or not. And the danger is to try to come to it when you become what we might call a star of social media. Something hits and you're the center of attention, and then that's the wrong time to try to get spun up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's And I've come to that over time. I think what's interesting for me is I was more what we call in the book a visitor. I was just looking early on, and I was in the process of doing my my dissertation work, and I couldn't come up with a topic that I could get approved by my committee. And both my committee and my employer, Booz Allen Hamilton at the time, said, well, why don't you do social media? And I needed a topic, and so I did. And so that day I signed up for, you know, I was just on, I believe, LinkedIn, and I signed up for several things just to get a feel, and I started researching and really came to what we're doing now, not so much the how of, you know, how you get a Facebook page or how to set up a LinkedIn profile, but the why. What do you want out of your social media participation? Where do you want to end up? Do you want to find a job? What's the right platform? Do you want to make more friends? What's the right platform? And so I came to it by necessity, but I started to find a niche that so many people get into social media and say, oh, I just saw somebody on Instagram and I'm going to do that. And they start doing that, and then it doesn't. One day it doesn't make sense. Where if you figure out why you're doing it first, you can move along a plan. And that's really what we talk about in the book.
Yeah, I see that your notes tell me that that's part of it is making picking your platform and then making a goal, because you do have very significant audiences for each platform. And can you sort of give the audience that's listening right now sort of a thumbnail of what each platform, if you were able to give it in a couple words, what each platform's audience might reflect to them?
Well, first I think I would say that you know, it's a distinction between social networking and social media. And social networking is our actions, the actions we take to communicate. And social media is the tools we use to energize those actions. So if I want to make friends or connect with my family, or in a business sense, get people to look at my brand and help my brand, I might go to Facebook. If I want to connect with some people I've worked with before, if I want to find a new job, if I want to become a thought leader so you listen to me and realize that I know some of what I'm saying is really important and really true and become a thought leader, then you might go to LinkedIn. If you want to be in the moment, connecting with people all the time, everywhere, then Twitter might be the platform for you. Tweet-ups, mash-ups, meet-ups, things like that, where it's more immediate, and you can keep going. So if you're high energy, I need to connect all the time, Twitter might be your platform. So we talk about matching your, what we call, end state to the right platform that's going to give you the best chance to be successful.
Oh, makes lots of sense. Now, here's a situation that happened for us. My husband, last year at this time, had just been early retired after 33 years with Boeing. The Boeing plant here is going bye-bye. And one of the things that people said to him was, you must get on LinkedIn. And so I helped him get his profile, and we took a professional picture, and we loaded that up. But when I was somewhere else and I was talking about LinkedIn, they said to me, oh, LinkedIn doesn't work in our community. And I found that a very strange statement. Do you feel that there's any kind of relevance to where you live, whether LinkedIn is more pertinent in that area? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm not the expert.
Well, I think there's a demographic to everything. And this gets back to, you know, having an end state and making a plan, because without going deep into statistics and things, there are demographics for everything based on location, but based on, you know, Gen Xers or, you know, what age group you're in. And so you have to figure out not only what's the right time to post and the right time to participate, but who's in the audience. So we talk some in the book about listening to a community and getting to know them and finding that out. And if you find yourself in a community that's more Facebook-oriented, then you can come to the right platform.
Makes sense.
And I would argue that if you're job hunting, it shouldn't depend upon location. LinkedIn is the place where recruiters go to search for new talent. And I'm not sure what the specific circumstances are for your husband, but there's a pretty big aviation community on LinkedIn. So I would encourage him to stick out his efforts on LinkedIn and connect with other Boeing colleagues and other folks in the aviation industry, and maybe join a group that is focused on his particular niche in aviation, and he'll find it a more rewarding experience because, you know, as Mike was commenting earlier, social networking and social media, if you're not networking, if you're only kind of just a casual visitor, a lurker, and you're not actually connecting with people, participating in conversations, sharing articles, sharing your own personal feedback in group discussions, then it's not going to be very rewarding experience, and you're not going to get a lot of value out of it. And perhaps that's the feedback that you're getting from other folks, is they're just observers, they're not participants, and it's a much different experience if you're participating.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, because I teach person-to-person networking in this town, because so many people think it's just a pitch fest where you go in and pitch your business, and trying to help people understand it's relationships, and it's the same thing online. Like you just said, if you're in a Facebook page or you're in a LinkedIn or a Twitter or any of those, and you're just observing, but you never like, share, or make a comment, then you're just a silent observer. And that's not going to benefit you to establish that relationship, especially if you are in, like Michael said, you know, you're trying to brand yourself on Facebook, or you're trying to, like Tracy said, find a job in LinkedIn, and then you go over to Twitter and you're just watching everybody. Well, hello. Nobody even knows you're there. So it's definitely people need to pick out a platform. Now, one of the things that I've learned as I've gone through some of my own personal mission to learn this and embrace it thoroughly is that experts, I've studied experts that say, you know, you got to get on everything. Well, that's, you can't be on everything and actually participate. Would you recommend people do more than one, or they pick out just a couple? How would you recommend people start doing their social networking online? And I know it depends on what they're searching for, but.
Well, I think that's the kind of clever part of our book, if you will, the EVR, which is the part of social media forever. I have to say it depends, because EVR is expectation, value, and return. And in that, we're talking about three things. The first is the ability to get useful help in a two-way arrangement, which is shared expectations, what I expect from you and what you expect from me. And the second is the opportunity for a valuable information exchange between two or more parties. And then the third benefit is a reasonable return on the investment of time and attention, getting and giving recognition that matters to others, that comes into play. So if you look at those three things, that should lead you to an informed choice. So there's no, I don't really see any formula for if two is right, if three is right. Sometimes it's the platform of the moment. You just have to remember that if you're not on, then part of social media is a trust relationship and building social capital. So if you're just dabbling and you're being a lurker, as Tracy said, then you may not get any of that shared expectation, shared values, and shared return on investment. And so it won't lead you to a good choice of what platform to use.
It makes sense. Now, with your book, how many chapters are in your book, and is how's the sequence go in your book?
Well, that's easy. We have 11 chapters.
Okay.
And we go through, and I have to tell you, as I said, it's a textbook for the course. So we go through some history of social media. We talk about some social media theory, and then we moved on to social media engagement, the things we're talking about, who and how do you engage with, what's going to be most beneficial. Then we talk about the four pillars of social media that lead you to a strategy. We talk about, in Chapter 5, it's building your brand. Chapter 6 gets into some brand analysis. Chapter 7, we talk more in depth about EVR, the expectation value and return. Then in Chapter 8, we talk about planning and policy implications. Chapter 9 goes on to designing a social media plan. We cover crisis communication in Chapter 10, which was Tracy's idea, and I think it was a great idea. It's going to be an addition to the course. It wasn't in the course, but it's going to be in. And then we wrap it all up in accepting the challenge, because for some people, participating in social media is definitely a challenge, but one that I personally feel is well worth the any time that you give it.
Oh, I absolutely agree, and I love the way you've lined those chapters out, because it flows very nicely. Now, I have to ask you, I'm sure there's people that are listening in that don't like to necessarily read, but they would love to take your course. Is it ever going to be that you do like a webinar type of presentation where people can actually access the course online, or is it something they really just need to go buy the book?
Well, I could do a webinar, but I'd have to call Tracy again because I've never done that.
I bet you got her on speed dial already.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to do a webinar. You know, the challenge with the courses that Mike and I teach is that the specific material is the actual lectures and four-credit classes are proprietary to the universities. But the beauty of the textbook is it's available on Amazon, it's available on Kindle, and as we kind of figure out what's next, definitely webinars and maybe a podcast series of our own is something that we could offer to folks. But in the meantime, you can follow us both on Twitter and get our day-to-day pontifications on public relations and social media. And I did just want to touch on one thing that Mike was citing the chapters made me think of is social media policy and its implications. Most of us work for employers. Many of us work for employers that may have a social media policy. And we think that when we have a Facebook page or we post videos to YouTube or we're snarky on Twitter or Snapchat or Instagram, that is representative of us and only me as an individual. But many companies, my own included, have a social media policy that outline what my social behavior, if it has negative consequences on the company, what the consequences are to me as an individual. So, you know, if you work for Intel, for example, their social media policy very clearly states if you at any way, shape, or form represent yourself as being part of Intel, you cannot share confidential information. If you do so, you may risk being fired. So while social media, by and large, is fun, there can be some negative consequences, and there are certainly many profile examples of people who have lost their jobs because of a tweet that was perceived as discriminatory, for example. So you do need to be careful when you're online, because you're representing not just your own individual brand, but a lot of times you're an ambassador for your company, and your social media behavior could be attached to that.
Well,
Gail, if I could, I'm sorry, but if I could piggyback on what Tracy said, that leads to, in the book, we work on both the personal approach to social media and the organizational approach to social media, because we thought both were very important. And we wanted to provide some help, regardless of whether you were doing it for yourself or doing it for your organization.
Well, I appreciate you both giving that viewpoint, because, yes, I've heard some horror stories where someone has misspoke because people don't cushion their replies sometimes. And if they're working for an organization, and like you said, that reply is perceived entirely differently and affecting that company, then yes, they need to be very aware that that kind of behavior can have ramifications, although you would hope that they would know that anyway. So, okay, that's going to be all we have for today. You guys have given us incredible information. Is there any other inspirational point you would like to share? I think we've got your Amazon information. I do have Michael, your Twitter handle, and then Tracy, if you can send me yours, I will put that on my guest page so that everybody has your information handy. So if you got any more contact information, let's have it right now.
Very good. Well, folks can follow me on Twitter at Tracy, T-R-A-C-Y, Shario, S-C-H-A-R-I-O. And my personal website is shariojohnson.com.
All right, very good. And Michael, you have any more words of wisdom?
And for me on Twitter, I'm at MichaelBrown76, and I'm really MichaelBrown76 across all my platforms. And there's a Social Media Forever website at socialmediaforever.com. And remember, ever is E-V-R, just to make it interesting.
Very good.
But thanks so much for your time, Gail.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate both of you giving your time. I can't wait to read the book. You can get it in Kindle, however that's pronounced, and you can just go to Amazon and put the name in. The book does come up, and it is available right now. So I appreciate you two. That's all we have for today. You can find their information if you're driving and can't write this down. You can find it under my guest link on thegailfolashow.com. And just a thank you for everybody that's tuning in, and please share this information. I'm sure that if they decide to do a webinar, they will shout it out to everybody and let you know. But let's get them a bigger audience by sharing this through the social media that you are a part of, because the purpose of Gab and Gail is to grow their business and get lots of book sales and get a lot of people out there doing the social media the way that's going to help everybody the most. Bye-bye.
All right, that's a wrap on today's show. Remember, let's connect on Twitter at Gail Foley, hashtag Gab and Gail. And remember, you can visit thegailfoleyshow.com to subscribe to my channel so you won't miss a single inspirational moment. And please remember to share this with all your social media connections so that we can spread the word on something that might help someone else in their journey to success. Thanks again for tuning in. This is Gab and Gail asking you to do me one big favor. Pass on a smile today. It's contagious, you know. You'll make a difference in someone's life. Bye-bye.